Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I preached at the congregation in Virginia where I had served for about 11 years. The text was from Ezekiel chapter 17. The imagery almost of that entire chapter is botanical. It's about plucking and planting trees, and the trees are kings and nations. My preaching in my former home congregation was something of a last-minute thing because about a month before, their pastor had announced his resignation, and they felt plucked. The text proper, the closing three verses of Ezekiel 17, in those verses, Yahweh announces that he is about to do his own plucking and planting. And when he does so, he says, "All the trees of the field shall know that I am Yahweh. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am Yahweh, I have spoken, and I will do it." The God of the Bible is not only master of creation, but also the Lord of all nations. The scandal of particularity according to which Israel enjoys a considerable advantage in respect to the rest of nations also entails a more serious disadvantage. When the covenant people of God are not spared the experience or experiences of the wrath of God, to whom much is given, of that one much is expected. Now, since Amos is a herdsman and dresser of sycamore figs, we might have expected botanical rather than construction imagery. Indeed, the first two visions in Amos chapter 7 are of the land. But those are the ones about which Yahweh relents. "Okay, I won't do it that way," he says. But the plumb line, that one will not be averted. A plumb line, I'm guessing most of you are aware, is a tool that checks for verticality, that is, for uprightness. A wall that is not plumb already contains sideways forces that threaten its collapse. A door or a window that is not plumb will not open and close properly. It will be too tight in one place and there will be gaps in another. In the sermon I preached on Ezekiel 17, it gave me opportunity to talk about political associations with the botanical imagery. You could mention a whole assortment of nations: Greece, Spain, France, Syria, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. Look up any of them at a reputable news agency website and you'll see how nations are plucked and planted and plumbed. What about us? The U.S., that is. Are we being plumbed? I suppose it's old news now, but is the private sector of the economy doing well or not? I came across the text of a report during this past week by the International Monetary Fund, IMF, of its visit to the U.S., kind of like an accreditation site visit, I suppose. At any rate, the visitors, and this is fun, they called themselves staff. In the report, staff welcomes, staff noted, staff commends, and so forth. The visitors called the state of the American economy tepid and tilting, leaning, inclined toward decline. There was a segment a few weeks ago on Jon Stewart's Daily News in which he nailed both presumptive presidential nominees for gaffes that they had made in speaking about the economy. It seems to me that those who live by the soundbite are destined to die by the soundbite. Did the Supreme Court declare the Health Care Reform Act constitutional, or did they only declare it not unconstitutional? One pundit reckons that Chief Justice Roberts' lean to the left was a masterstroke that will set the law up for repeal after this fall's elections. Storms on the eastern seaboard, fires in the mountains and southwest, searing heat and drought in the grain belt and all the way over to the east coast. Britain's Barclays Bank has now pushed others off the front page for the moment but it wasn't that long ago that it was Bank of America or U.S. Bank. The point is, it doesn't seem to matter where you look, there is trouble, natural and man-made. We lean this way and that, and none of it gets us anywhere good. The U.S. is not and never has been a new Israel. But if the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and of Moses and of David governs the rise and fall of all nations, then why shouldn't we expect that America too might be plumbed and be found crooked, out of plumb? But there is another use of and purpose for a plumb line, to aid the process of correcting something that is out of plumb, to bring it into proper line. If you ever watch This Old House, you see Tommy Silva with his level, and he sort of wraps something into position and says, there it's good, let's nail or screw it into place. To be plumbed in this sense is to be purified. And it is the lot, the portion of the church at all times and in all places, not only to remain upright, vertical, plumb, even in the face of forces that want to topple it, but also to bear witness to what is plumb, to what is upright and true. Those who want to stifle the word of God generally also want to stifle the gospel particularly. So it takes the same faith and the courage that that faith engenders to speak both the righteous will of God and his gracious will. The June 16, 2012 issue of World Magazine contains an article about the Falls Church Anglican, pages 54 and following, I think it is. When I was on vicarage at St. Paul's Lutheran in Falls Church, Virginia, the congregation was called, I think, the Falls Church Episcopal. In December 2006, the members, the majority of members of the Falls Church, voted to leave the Episcopal Church and to join the Convocation of Anglicans in North America, which is a body that exists under the oversight of the Anglican Church in Nigeria. Since then, a court battle has raged for ownership of the congregational property. Even the pastor's library was up for grabs, though the court did award custody to him because he had bought it. In mid-May of this year, the Anglican component of the congregation, which was the vast majority, had to vacate the property, and the Episcopal component took possession. Now, there isn't time here to recite the whole history and legal details. What I will do is recall some of the ways the displaced congregation responded. In his last sermon from the historic pulpit, the pastor urged his flock to be patient. Some of you will find this inconvenience annoying, upsetting, and you just don't want to mess with it. But he said, we have to ask the question, will we be committed to Christ and committed to our church? Will you commit yourself now to no complaining, no grumbling? If we're going to navigate truly big challenges that we may face one day, let's face this one without complaint. The article goes on to report the congregation sang A Mighty Fortress, and the World Reporter said they belted out the line, let goods and kindred go. They prayed for the Episcopal congregation, that it would care for the property and preach the gospel. A couple of days later, the children's choir held its last rehearsal, concluding it in the sanctuary where they sang a benediction they knew by heart, go with us, Lord, and guide the way through this and every coming day. The children were invited to pray, and one small voice prayed that there would be love in the new church, that the people who are moving to the church we're in now would enjoy it. Another prayed that we wouldn't be so depressed about not being in the church, and that we would be close to God. The wall that God showed Amos was plumb, upright, straight. It is the wall that only God can build. If there is no other foundation that anyone can lay than that which has been laid, which is Christ, there also is no other superstructure that anyone can build than that which God erects as he builds his spiritual house with the living stones of redeemed people. In today's service order, I separated the opening sentence in the Lord's Prayer and the Creed so that they would come first. The confession in the Creed is a description of the wall that has been built and built plumb. It is what God has built or intends to build. God alone is the Creator. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He alone is our Savior. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. He alone is the one who sanctifies us, whose Spirit fits us to the reign of God, makes us plumb for it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through a lively faith in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. We stand to pray.